This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, I thanked earlier the engineers for all of their work with the upgrading of WWL. Pardon me, and also all of Tim Zimmer and Jordan Fiegel and everybody, and the displaced WWL diaspora as it relates to getting everybody back at the studio. And I also thank TEDDY, the PUPPY, for his good behavior. And I can't say his name, or he's going to get all acted up and so forth, or start acting up. But I'm out of pocket about $120 on chewable treats. Yes. And what's interesting is that if you go to these pet places, one side of the store is very pet friendly, right? But if you go to the other side, they had got all of these rendered animal parts that you could probably put a cow back together if you bought every... Yes. It always struck me how, well, we're very pet-friendly over here, but on the other, very animal-friendly over here, but yet when you go to the other side, not so much. Yeah. Well, you can have a cow for a pet, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe the line is if you eat it or not, but then again, you get to cultures. Let's just keep moving with Jeff Nowak, please. Thank you, Dave. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, always a good follow at Jeff Nowak on X or Twitter. How you doing, Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter?
I'm doing good. I also have to say, great use of diaspora. I was not expecting to have that vocabulary lesson in my morning, but it was a good one.
But it's true, don't you think? We're displaced,
yeah, no,
we're displaced people. We're nomads. We're wandering at this point.
Right.
We're looking for some great leader to lead us out of the... Anyway, let's talk about the running back that the Saints signed. I got his pronunciation and I lost it. Jay, tell me who it is.
Velus Jones?
Yeah.
Is that who we're talking about? Yeah,
yes.
Velus Jones. You know, he's an interesting... Go ahead.
Well, is there another one?
Well, no, it's that's the Jones is pretty easy to pronounce.
No, I mean another running back that the Saints. Let's start with Jeff Nowak. I'm gonna press the reset button. I'm just kidding. Did they sign another running back or just Velus Jones?
I believe it was just Velus Jones, unless okay. I missed something. And Velus, he's an interesting guy. You know, he was a third round pick, 71st out of USC, and then I think he went to Tennessee. But he came out as a wide receiver last year, so, and I only know this because I watched the Hard Knocks on the Bears, where Velus Jones was, and they transitioned him from wide receiver to running back, and there was this kind of long arc of him transitioning to running back. He's kind of big for a running back. He's 6'3", 201, which, you know, you don't see a lot of 6'3" running backs because you kind of want to get low. It's a center of gravity position. But the Saints are bringing him in as a running back. They're not bringing him in as a wide receiver. He could be a return specialist. So it's interesting, and I think it kind of follows the theme of, okay, we have this team that is saying, hey, we want to be active in free agency, we're going to bring guys in, but we're not going to overspend, we're not going to do a ton beyond the minimum in terms of contracts. You know, you signed Justin Reed to a bigger contract, you signed Juwan Johnson, Chase Young to bigger extensions, 3-year extensions. But otherwise, they've been pretty subdued. You know, there've been some guys they've been in on, but you know, like Cooper Kupp, for instance. But the market got too high, so they pulled back. So I think this is kind of where you're at right now, is you're trying to find, I don't want to say bargain bin options, but kind of more economically friendly options, because this to me is a team that is still kind of understanding where it is and that there's a rebuild going on.
Well, you got to live within your means, right? I mean,
well, to an extent, I mean, they could go out and spend. There's nothing preventing them from doing that. They have, you know, there's a couple contracts that haven't come in yet from a dollars perspective. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're showing with about $18 million in cap space. I think once you factor in guys like Justin Reed and, you know, wherever they end up signing Valus Jones and Will Clapp and Jonah Williams, you're in top 51 range right now. So basically only the top 51 salaries count toward the salary cap. Mm-hmm. So these guys would probably bump a few of those lower level contracts down, and you would probably end up losing, I don't know, $4 to $5 million against the cap space you have. So I guess they have about $14 million, give or take, right now in real effective cap space. So if they wanted to, they could go out and be aggressive and sign a couple guys. I think they're choosing to be a little bit more, choosy, I think it would be a word, in terms of they're not going to go out and get into a bidding war. Cooper mm-hmm. Kupp was a guy they were in on. He was signed for 3 years, $45 million. That's too much for a guy in his situation. Hasn't played more than 12 games since the 2021 season. It would have been great to have him in here, but not at that number. So I think that's where you are. A guy like Keenan Allen is still out there that really intrigues me. Was on the Chargers with Kellen Moore in 2023. Kind of fits that mold that I think the Saints should be looking for in the bigger receiver. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's money in the till. It's just a question of whether they want to go grab it.
Interesting that Valus Jones is a pet ferret, because to me, have you ever known anybody that's had a ferret, Jeff?
I haven't, but I've always been fond of ferrets whenever I go to the pet
really?
Store. I think his ferret's name is Crash, because I think he confused it with Crash Bandicoot, I think is the story, because I don't think he knew what a bandicoot was, and I don't know, if you didn't know any better, you would think a ferret and a bandicoot was the same thing. But anyway, yeah, he's got a ferret. He's an interesting guy for sure.
I dated a woman one time, had a ferret, and you knew it as soon as you walked in the house. And apparently that's a common thing with ferrets. I think it's the worst of a snake and a rat combined, but that's just my opinion. Let's talk about, and I said you're a good follow on Twitter, and you really are, at Jeff _ Nowak. Because you say, hey, I'm going to read this tweet. I want you to expand on it, because I think it's a good one. Hot take here. If teams would actually stick to their guns and not reset the market with every third contract, the overall NFL product would be better for it. And I think sometimes, yeah, I guess the other side of that is collusion, where they can't get together and collude. That would not be technically with the collective bargaining agreement. But I think you make a good point here. Expand on that a little bit, Jeffrey, if you would.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, it's not even, you know, I made that point on a Derek Stingley tweet, because Derek Stingley signed a $30 million a year contract with the Texans, and he's now the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. And, you know, I don't even think it's a good point to be made on a Derek Stingley. It's like when you're getting annoyed at something, and then something benign happens, mm-hmm. and you go fly off the handle, and it's like, well, it's not really about that. It's about all these other things. And,
no, but it's just, I agree, but generally speaking, I think it's a good point.
Right, and so basically the point is, you know, teams have just gotten way too willing to just throw record-setting contracts at every star-level free agent they have. And it's creating a scenario where, so, like, look at the Bengals. The Bengals are now paying 60% of their salary cap to their quarterback and their top two wide receivers. Well, you got to build an offensive line. You got to build a defensive line. You got to build a defense. You know, like, I guess if you're playing fantasy football, it's great because they're going to have to go out there and outscore everybody. So I'm going to draft Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. But how are you going to build a team that way? And it's creating a scenario where you have these really top-heavy teams that, when you have two or three bad injuries, like bad luck injuries, you can't completely go in the tank because you cannot survive them. You cannot build a roster that is dedicated to this system with the players you need because you can't afford them. All you can do is bring in guys on minimum contracts. Every time you sign somebody to one of these record-setting deals, it takes, I don't know what the number would be, maybe four or five players who would be on reasonable kind of mid-range contracts and dumps them down to a minimum contract that can be shed immediately. So it means that roster turnover is higher. So your teams are playing with players they are not used to. And if you go watch like the Patriots, one of the reasons the Patriots were so good for so long just because they had a core of players that played together. And even when they had to replace parts, you had a system that you could build around. When you are playing with three massive contracts, you're basically just filling in parts around those guys, and you can't build a team, you can't build a structure. And then every time a player gets to free agency, they're like, well, I want to reset the market. That guy did. I'm as good as he is. Mm-hmm. So it's just a vicious cycle that kind of builds and builds and builds to the point that, I mean, I don't think that's why you look at the NFL as it is right now. You see, you know, some really good teams and then a whole bunch of really bad teams. The Saints went 5-12 and they're picking ninth. That means there are eight NFL teams that finish worse than 5-12. There should not be, in a league that strives for parity, that big of a gulf between playoff teams and non-playoff teams. And that's what you have. And I think the teams getting more and more top heavy is a reason for that. Because teams just have no interest in being in the middle anymore. They just want to be either at the top or the bottom. And so, yeah, anyway, it's a whole problem. Now, the Texans can get away with it right now because they're not paying the quarterback. Because C.J. Stroud is going into year three, so he's on a rookie mm-hmm. deal. Once they have to pay the quarterback, you can't do that anymore. And now quarterbacks are making $60-plus million. Salary cap goes up by $15 million every year. So, you know, you can survive. But I don't know. I just think it's bad roster management, and teams are just not willing to stick to their guns. Players are willing to hold out, and then they don't have a choice. So I don't know. It's an ugly system, and it's one of the reasons I appreciate the way the Saints operate, because one of the things they do is they set a number and they kind of stick to it. And I think that's how you should. That's how more teams should be operating.
It seems to me like an analogy would be three couples that fall in love with a house and they artificially drive the price of it up, and then whoever winds up with it realizes when they move in what they have and how they have to deal with the plumbing issues, this, that, the other thing. Make sense?
Along with the other house expenses. They could have got the house next door for half the price.
Exactly right. My point. And then they realize after it's all over, well wait a minute, I guess we won. Let's talk about the...
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games.
or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
A guy from New England, Davon Gotcha, how you say his name?
I believe it's Davon. I could be wrong. Davon. I need to double check. And I want to say it's Gotcha or something along those lines, but you know, there's the whole Cajun of it all. But yeah, I mean, he's a local guy. He kind of feels this theme that I don't know if this is what the Saints were going for, but this is definitely what happened, is kind of this homecoming theme of this offseason, right? Justin Reed, Louisiana guy, didn't go to LSU, went to Stanford, but his brother is Eric Reed, who played with Tyrann Mathieu at LSU, right? Like, Bo Davis is a new defensive line coach. You bring in Davon Gotcha, who played for the Dolphins and the Patriots, but went to high school, you know, played at Plaquemine, went to LSU. So just another Louisiana guy. So, you know, it's kind of a homecoming of sorts for these guys. And, you know, he's interesting because the Patriots, we're kind of just trying to ship him out. Like, they changed head coaches. Clearly this wasn't going to be a fit. And I think what happens in that situation is you're like, okay, we could cut him, but why don't we make some calls first? And the Saints were like, hey, we'll give you a 2026 seventh rounder, which is, you know, about the lowest level asset you can give and still call it a trade, right? You got to trade something. You know, there's no such thing, like they say, like, oh, a bag of balls. Like, that's essentially what it is. Like, you're just throwing him something to say it was a trade so you can jump the line rather than having to go after the guy in free agency. And that's what they did. Davon said the Saints were the most aggressive. He wanted to come here. He thought it would be a cool opportunity to come home. So it kind of fits. And you look at what Brandon Staley needs to do, the new Saints defensive coordinator. They're going to run a 3-4 in some capacity. It's going to be kind of a hybrid scheme. So, you know, you're not going to be running just a legit 3-4 front all the time. Anytime you go into nickel, you're going to have five defensive backs on the field, and that's going to change things. But you did need a nose tackle. And I feel like that's what Davon is going to come in and kind of be your primary nose tackle. So he's going to be on the field a good bit. He's more of a run player. He describes himself as a dirty work player, which is what any nose tackle should describe themselves as. Because, you know, basically what you're doing is trying to occupy double teams. Like, in most cases, you're not even going to be a factor on the play because you're getting taken out of the play. If you're not drawing a double team, then you do have to go make a play because someone else is getting double teamed and they're saying, hey, we're going to pick you as the guy who needs to beat us. But in most cases, you're just kind of getting driven off the play. So no, I think it's a good addition for them.
That's otherwise known as a three tech, right? Where you occupy the interior lineman so somebody else can get through.
No, a three tech would be your traditional defensive tackle in a 4-3. So like Brian Brzee would have been playing the three technique this year. A nose tackle would be, you know, kind of a one, you know, or a zero, you know, you're just kind of over the center, basically, or you're shaded from one side or the other. And the center is usually going to get help from one side or the other because teams typically don't want to leave their center one-on-one. So, I mean, it's just you want someone who can play in the middle of the line, and then what that would mean is your defensive ends are now what would be kind of your defensive tackles previously. So a Brian Brzee would bump out to what's now a defensive end in a 3-4, and then, you know, your edges would be your – outside linebackers, and that would be probably a Chase Young or Carl Granderson in that situation.
Don't ever correct me, Jeff. Please, don't ever. Just go along with it. No. So tell me about Juwan Johnson real quick, and where do the Saints go from here?
Yeah, so Juwan, you know, Juwan's another interesting case because, you know, he said yesterday he had interest from several other teams. Sean Payton was coming to get him for the Broncos. Clint Kubiak and the Seahawks were looking at him. So guys with connections to the Saints, obviously, were interested in him. But he wanted to stay in New Orleans. You know, he talked about how he was really on the fence. It was really draining on him because he was trying to figure out what to do. And he actually called Kellen Moore at like 11:30 at night one night, just out of the blue. They hadn't really talked at all. But he was just like he couldn't sleep and he needed to like get it off his chest. They called him and Kellen took the call and they talked for like a half hour and he kind of said like that it didn't make the decision, but it was like the commitment it showed for just him taking the call and talking to him and kind of reassuring him in that moment was like, all right, this is where I want to be. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of an interesting story, because I think a lot of times these decisions are very emotional. It's oftentimes not about the money, and you know, it is about the money, but not about the money in the sense that, okay, what's the real difference between, you know, he got 3 years, $30 million. What if someone was offering him 2 years, $23 million, right? Like, it's really tangibly about the same. But he feels like there's more to do in New Orleans. I think what he said and what I think the team is kind of showing with that contract is, hey, we believe your best years are still ahead of you. You know, it's a guy who came into the league as a wide receiver, switched to tight end in year two. And so those first 2 years are really kind of an experiment. You only have the last 3-4 years to really kind of get an idea of what he can do. He had his most catches and yards this past season. He led the Saints in receiving yards a couple of years ago. I think he had 9 touchdowns or something in that range. He led the team in touchdown receptions. So there's a lot to like. What he needs to do is put a whole season together, right? Like, he'll have these stretches where you're like, well, why doesn't he do that all the time? And that's what he needs to do. And when he understands that, is he needs to come in and be that weapon for 17 games and not just a 6 games out of a 17 game season. But I think that's what the Saints are investing in. They're investing in saying, hey, we're paying him for the next 3 years, and we expect those to be his best 3 years. And I think the same thing is true for Chase Young, a 25-year-old who's, you know, they feel like it's just coming into his own. So I think that's kind of the measured rebuild that the Saints are in right now, is you're investing in guys that you think are going to, their best football is still there, and you're making sensible decisions elsewhere. But I know Juwan is happy to stick around. I know the Saints are happy to keep him around.
Thank you, Jeff. Pleasure as always. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Good follow on Twitter at Jeff_NOWAK. We'll take a quick break. We come back, we're going to talk to Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports senior writer, about LSU, NIL, and professional college football players is basically what it is. Tommy Tucker back in a flash. All right, here we go. 9:33, 27 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly to Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports senior writer. Used to be the LSU beat writer for The Advocate. Good to talk to you, Ross. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Let's talk about your story here at Yahoo.com. It's a money game now, how LSU is going to use NIL to keep up in ever-evolving college football world. Boy, it's like you can look at this from the higher level, which is the house settlement and what happens after that. Then you can look at it from the LSU level and how they're handling all of that. How you want to go here, Ross? You want to start with the house settlement and salary caps? Or I don't know, man, this is complicated stuff. You tell me.
Yeah, it definitely is complicated. I think to understand the LSU piece, you have to understand the house settlement and what it is and the revenue sharing concept that's coming to college athletics. And so I'll start there. I mean, basically, you know, the NCAA has been sued for years and years and has lost a lot of these lawsuits. And a lot of these lawsuits have been about providing more compensation to athletes. And I think they're tired of losing those lawsuits, so they decided to settle the latest one. And that's the House case. It's actually got two more cases involved in it. And the settlement is kind of two parts. You know, one part is back damages. So $2.8 billion in back pay will go to former athletes who are owed NIL money, basically, before NIL was legal. And then the forward pay is what we're really talking about, what we spent time on that story about, which is it basically just abolishes the NCAA's rules around paying players, and it permits schools to pay players. And there's a salary cap as part of the settlement agreement. $20.5 million each school will have in year one. That figure will rise. It's got escalators. So year one, it's $20.5 million that each school will have to spend on their athletes. And that will start July 1, along with a new enforcement entity that will police all deals outside of school payments. So athletes can still strike commercial and endorsement deals outside of the school and earn more money than what the school pays them. So in a way, the school can exceed the salary cap if their athletes generate for their athletes more money outside of the cap. So that's kind of how it works. You know, the LSU piece of this, our story was mainly about how LSU has raised all this money, you know, in between $10 and $15 million is kind of a floating figure over the last few months to front load to athletes before the settlement gets implemented on July 1, before the new enforcement entity is implemented. So it's, you know, a lot of schools are doing this. I would say most of the power conferences are front loading, and that just means paying players before July 1, paying them a lot, right? Shifting some of these contract payments that are like annual contracts where you get paid over a year, and probably 80% of the payments are coming before July 1. So that's front loading the contract. And they're doing that to kind of, for two reasons, to avoid the new enforcement entity that's going to be more strict, but also to give flexibility to their revenue share in the years following, right? If they front load all this money now, they can use the rev share and push that money next year when they have that. So it is all complicated. But the bottom line of the story is LSU has raised a lot of money very quickly to position themselves in the long term to pay their players more and stay competitive.
So when we talk about front loading, what I hear is it's the wild, wild west right now. There are no rules. Front load, prepay as much as you possibly can before whatever rules there are kick into place and kick into effect or whatever it is. And then even those rules are kind of flexible because you got a salary cap, but NIL money is separate and distinct. Accurate or not?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, the front loading concept, you know, if you pay out your 2025 roster, if you pay 80% out to them before July 1, then, you know, starting on July 1, you have a fresh $20.5 million through June 2026 to spend on your roster and on your 2026 roster because you've already paid your 2025 through the front loading, or a big portion of your 2025 through the front loading. So it gives you some flexibility. It stretches your revenue share figures, your dollar further, is what it does. And a lot of schools, like I said, a lot of schools are doing it. LSU's not the only one. A lot of schools are doing it even more, right, than LSU. LSU estimates to spend $10 to $12 million probably this spring, in front loading money to their 2025 roster. I think there's some schools spending upwards to $16 to $18 million before July 1 arrives.
Somebody texted in and said they're still paying kids under the table to cheat the salary cap. Somebody texted that in. But to be clear, nobody's paying anybody under the table. There are, for all intents and purposes, no rules now, so you can do whatever you want. Yeah. Accurate?
Yeah, there's no reason to pay anybody under the table anymore, right? Now, there will be reason to do it starting potentially on July 1 if you want to exceed the cap and cannot come up with legitimate NIL deals for your athletes to exceed the cap. Then the only other way to exceed the cap would be to pay players outside of the school secretly. So we could, you know, history repeats itself, right? So we could see that starting again, we could see players under the new kind of salary cap, revenue share concept to be paid under the table. I think most schools, before they would do that, they would try to find real NIL deals from their athletes. You know, this new enforcement entity that's starting will have a clearinghouse. We've written exhaustively about it. And it's going to be stricter on booster payments for NIL. So it's got to be real NIL. It's got to be real endorsement commercial deals that athletes are signing in order for it to pass this clearinghouse. And that's part of why, right, schools are front loading too. Before the new enforcement entity arrives July 1, you get all this money out that doesn't fall under the scrutiny of this enforcement entity. But starting July 1, that person that texted in probably is right. Yeah, I mean, we could be back to how we were years ago where certainly athletes were paid secretly under the table, whatever vocabulary you want to use to get money to them.
even at that, Ross, I'm thinking about the NIL thing, and it's so subjective. What's a legitimate NIL thing? I mean, you're looking at basically, correct me if I'm wrong, but bang for your buck for your advertising, right? So who's to say if a second-string defensive tackle to build depth is really worth $100,000 to push Joe's lawn cutting service, but right? I mean, am I missing something here or not?
Yeah. Well, I think the new clearinghouse, this new enforcement entity that's supposed to determine if NIL deals outside of the school are real or not, certainly has some legal issues. I think many lawyers would say that it won't stand up to the legal test, that if it rejects deals by businesses, boosters, brands, because they're not, you know, fair market value, or they're not in the quote compensation range that they deem it to be, then there'll be lawsuits. There'll be more lawsuits. And I think that's probably what we're looking at, is that
as soon as
the deals are rejected, there'll be legal challenges.
Who's to tell me how I want to spend my advertising dollar, right? And I say that tongue in cheek, but legally, I mean, it's true.
That's right. Yeah. And the clearinghouse is run by Deloitte. The NCAA and the power conferences have hired Deloitte to run this clearinghouse. They've come up with these fair market value and compensation range concepts. But, you know, they seem to be confident in it, but many people are not, and believe that it will not stand up to the legal smell test.
Well, in that case, Ross, I would only respond with my one word West Bank legal phrase, which is brah. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Ross Dellinger about LSU. We'll specifically talk about where LSU is getting the money and how they're going to break it up in-house after the House settlement. Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports senior writer. It's a mess. It's going to be a mess. And that's the world we live in. Talking about LSU and NIL and House settlement and more, 9:43. A little bit late. Time for traffic on WWL. 9:50, 10 till 10. Quickly back to Ross Dellinger, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about LSU and NIL and front loading and all that stuff. Ross, we only have a couple of minutes left. I hope you come back because we could talk about this for 8 hours. It's so complicated. How does LSU intend to split up the money in-house as it relates to different sports?
Yeah, it's a great question. Schools are doing it all fairly similarly. They're using the back damage formula, what plaintiff's lawyers are, how they're splitting the back damage pay and the House settlement going forward. So about 75% of the $20.5 million will be spent on football, about 15% on men's basketball, and about 10% split among the other sports, probably leading with women's basketball. So that's how, and that's Scott Woodward, the LSU athletic director, said that's about how he plans to spend LSU's $20.5 million in the year one, which would equate about to around $14 million for the football roster and about probably $3 million for basketball, men's basketball. And then so on, you know, probably around $1 million or so for women's basketball. And then the other 5% is kind of left to be dispersed among the other sports. And LSU will add more scholarships, you know, as part of the House settlement. You can scholarship an entire roster now. And so LSU will add more scholarships. I'd imagine there'll be a lot more scholarships added to things like baseball, you know, at LSU.
Who are some of the bigger contributors to all of this for LSU?
Yeah, you know, it takes a lot of
money.
Donor money, right, to do this stuff. Yeah, and
lots of money.
Yes, and it will continue, you know, the front-loading aspect of it was very important, the way LSU fundraised all this money early on, which was Brian Kelly and the general manager, Austin Thomas, getting out and raising money with donors, right? And it was a handful of 3 to 5 donors, some of them very much known, like Todd Graves and the Canes, Raising Canes, and Gordon McKernan of the McKernan Law Firm there in Baton Rouge. And then some others who aren't as known, right? And like Holden Spate, who lives in San Francisco, but is a big LSU fan and a Baton Rouge native, and kind of a private equity guy. He certainly donated his fair share. And Pepper Rutland, who owns, I think, the largest in America equipment manufacturing equipment tools company. And so they've all donated probably seven figures, you know, in this latest campaign.
Just amongst the SEC, because we only have a second left here, who's winning when it comes to all of this front loading and everything else? Football, specifically football, who's winning, if you had to say?
I think that, you know, Tennessee and the University of Texas and probably Texas A&M are toward the top when it comes to their football NIL type of budget. If you look at the last several years, you know, they're probably anywhere from 15 to 20 million for their football roster. You know, I think in the new rev share era, they'll probably be out front when it comes to devising ways to exceed the cap by finding authentic, real, you know, NIL deals for players.
It's going to be a mess. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you, Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports senior writer, who's, boy, got to have a staff to keep track of all of this. I can't even imagine beginning to track all of this. 9:54, 6 till 10, quick break, then we'll find out what Newell's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.